Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up.
Oh, yeah. I hope that does well, but I don't know how big... I mean, hockey in America isn't especially
huge right now. It's like the fourth, right? What? It's a football, baseball, basketball, hockey.
Is it soccer?
It's doing better.
What about... No, you forgot about NASCAR, though.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Shit. I was going to say, number one in America is NASCAR.
People are really into golf now, too. I don't know what the numbers are like on that.
I don't know if I'd follow golf like that, though. I had a friend that were into golf, but...
No.
Fuck you. I have friends that were into golf, and I've been to a couple PGA games, but it was still, it's just so boring. It's baseball's, like, cousin. I don't care when I'm there.
I played baseball for 10 years, so that stings, and at the same time, I totally understand. I totally understand. Watching a game, like, it's not fast enough.
No.
It just isn't. And there should be a limit on pitchers to me. Like, the number of calls to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Like, back in the day, it used to be you only had three pitchers per team, and there was no subs. Mm-mm. If you were having a bad day, you had a really bad day, and the averages were driven up later on in games because people would go nine innings, and then all of a sudden, the games were so offensive late in games because you figured a pitcher out because you got to face him four or five times.
And he was tired.
And now you've got like a lefty who comes in for one batter who's throwing 100 miles an hour. Like, of course, it's not an offensively driven game anymore. Like, even though the batters are amazing compared to back then, because I'm not a big Babe Ruth fan or anything like that. Mm-hmm. As far as like the classics, I'm like, they... Left field for Babe Ruth was 300 feet. My little league team, when I was 12 or 13 years old, it was 300 feet to left field. And I'm just thinking, he had literally 200 pounds on every one of us. Of course,
assault in the SWAT.
Put your back into it, baby.
Not to mention, he was the first one to invent like the grip for a baseball bat. Or at least I heard that's the first time. So he had leverage,
like
over,
how to hold it, or
not just that, but he put the knob at the base of the baseball bat. So literally before then, it was literally just a stick or a club that they would bring up there. I'm going off of just memory and facts. Uh-huh. I'm not 100% positive on this,
but we're a podcast of comedians. We don't have to be
fantastic.
But
he invented the knob of the baseball bat. So not only did he have like all of the advantages in weight and stuff like that, and a fence moved in, but he had leverage on the ball, and he got to face a guy four to five times in a day. I don't honestly, his success makes me think, what were the rest of the guys doing that they weren't as successful?
They were drinking and snorting coke.
How did
off
you guys
hookers?
Stay on the team?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like,
well, not to mention black people couldn't even play.
Right? Oh, yeah. Where's that asterisk?
Don't forget that part.
Oh, yeah.
Babe Ruth, he invented the notch. He also invented the cigar and the pussy move, actually.
Oh.
Yes, a little known fact
about
him.
Was a big
him.
Smoker in the dugout.
Yes, he was.
Well, he may have invented it, but like somebody had to at least like do it first.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure.
That's true.
Teddy Roosevelt.
He made it mainstream.
Ah,
you know?
Okay.
Teddy Roosevelt.
He made it big.
I feel like Teddy probably tried it a couple times.
Yeah.
Good old Theodore.
Yeah, those were the real presidents back then, you know, real badasses.
You got the glass. Oh, he was a man.
Yeah.
He was the...
You can feel better about that, you know, because a guy like Teddy Roosevelt, you know, he got out there and he shot some Cubans, you know, he killed some people. It's like, your commander-in-chief needs to have at least a few confirmed kills.
Oh,
the Spanish-American War is the thing. It's all right. We can say that.
You don't get that anymore.
It's
now,
historical.
You got Trump now. He's a draft dodger, you know, he's got... He's got astigmatism.
He's good at real estate, right?
You know?
He's good at the real estate. He's going to get us killed. He's every time before we come on this show, he tweets something stupid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did he do something like directly before this?
He was talking shit on every news station. He talked shit on NBC and Fox News.
I can't. What frustrated me when he first started out was that he could just call a news station.
Fake news. Oh.
Oh, no, no. Like CNN and stuff like that. And they would immediately, breaking news, Donald Trump is talking right now.
Yeah.
And they'd just pick him up and he'd say whatever he felt like saying. Yep. Usually in opposition of whatever was going on, because they'd be like, well, Trump did this stupid thing. And he'd be like, actually, what I did was not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It was strategic. Mm-hmm. And he'd literally like
talked
himself out in front of everybody. And he literally did that to every news station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anything like that, to be honest, as far as presidents or anything like that. I'm like, what? How? Why? Did other presidents like have the ability to call in and no. just he was no, the first one to think not. Of it?
Yeah.
Because
well, the ratings the ratings were huge.
Oh, right? Exactly.
They were huge. I mean, exactly. you guys are probably double at least, you know?
Oh, yeah, instantly. As soon as it said breaking news, Trump.
Oh, it's going to be great. It'll be great.
Yeah.
People had to stop and drop everything they were doing to go watch it. I mean, I feel like he's taking the most advantage of our celebrity culture.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah.
And I blame the Beatles.
He's.
Because they were the first ones that were like the super group.
That was the first like celebrity, like, oh my God. And now we kind of just. He peeked off of it and he's running with it.
That's, I mean, honestly, you got to give the guy credit for that. Like, he's like
boomer.
Manipulated the system, like, as. Maybe is tyrannical or whatever you want to call it. You say that is. It's fucking effective and it works
extremely.
You know?
Oh yeah, 100%.
I mean, it's you know.
I don't hate the results.
He, you know, he talks about how. No. I mean, he sits here and calls them out, but then they give him all this airtime and they.
They're not helping.
They're feeding into it.
How is he doing this? How is he even pulling this off? It's insane to me.
Oh, I remember when he was doing like the conspiracy theories and stuff like that. And I thought to myself, in a way, that was really smart of him because literally all he needs is for one person, or all he needs is like a percent, like 0.5% to believe wholeheartedly what he's also saying.
Mm-hmm.
And those are instantly a 0.5% for him. It doesn't matter what he does from there. If they also believe ghosts don't like locksmiths or something like that,
right.
Then
we talked about this before.
Yeah, exactly. then he's got 0.5% extra on his side for the rest, and he literally accumulated this weird group of people.
It went viral, literally.
Exactly.
He was a meme.
All these things, and he threw out as many controversies as like conspiracy theories as he could. Just to see who could glom onto him, and it didn't matter what his policies were, as long as he like thought French toast was different than regular toast,
right,
or something like that. Then all
freedom
of a sudden
toast.
He had the freedom toast, absolutely.
Anti-globalism.
Then he had this group of people who would also vote for him no matter what, and I thought he's bringing in people to just buy. Strings, not by what like the meat of it should be his policies, but in a way it worked more effectively that way.
Yeah,
and that's what ended up happening.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
I think.
I just think people they want to change. To be honest, I think. Like,
I agree, but it's just like, it's the way that he was able to feed off of the I want to change, and then throw in a couple of things. You're like, oh, just ride me to the top, guys. Like literally, I made the first comment on YouTube. Just ride me to the top of the comments. And here I am.
Oh, yeah. And Hillary Clinton was going to be a boring choice.
Yeah.
Like, I think about...
Status quo.
But also, like, a food Great item on a menu where I'm like, Hillary Clinton is literally medium wing sauce. Like, it's dead in the middle. And you can't complain about it because you're not going to be sitting there like, oh, my God. This is so tolerable. Mm-hmm. This is so middle of the road, par for the course, medial thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get excited about that. Meanwhile, Trump, shit, they threw something that's going to hit you hard on a plate for sure. It's going to do something to your body.
Hopping over a lemon.
And sauce. They were like, yeah, they're going to, like, you know you're trying something new here.
Yeah.
For sure. And literally... Even if all the textbooks say on paper this is a bad idea, it's still never been done before.
Right.
Yeah.
And America was like, well, I will try that. I will throw that in there versus just medium wings.
Blue cheese or ranch.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate the fact that you use the wing analogy with Hillary because we talk about hashtag hot sauce gate all the time.
Oh, shit.
You know,
that's cool.
That's a common topic on this show. So well done there.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Damn right. I haven't listened before. This was just me connecting to you guys, I guess.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
Nailed it.
All right. Well, before we get in too far here, we're already in kind of deep, but we got to kick this puppy off proper. Welcome to another episode of An Earful in the Emerald City. Thanks for joining us, you guys. We appreciate you being here on this. Now we're kind of into the dog days of seasonal depression here, you guys.
Yes.
You know,
third
week of January. Yeah, we're just about there. So it's a little rough out there. But we're helping you guys.
I thought it was
yeah.
Damn.
It usually starts right around Thanksgiving, actually, for me. And it goes about a month and a half straight. But
mine hit like right after the election results came in. Actually,
a little bit earlier. Man. You're right. This year was a little different. But yeah, thank you guys for joining us though on another episode here, episode 63. You guys, we're still doing it, still banging them out. And still on our streak of consecutive guests on the show.
We're doing good.
Oh, and do we have a treat for you guys today? All right.
We got
one of Seattle's best local comedians. Guy features all over the place. He's actually been touring with Gabriel.
Those were just a couple one-nighters with Gabe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, he's been getting around,
though.
I'm
hoping to tour relatively soon, but I don't have anything firm at this point.
Yeah. Well, you can see him around. He's at places all around the Seattle area. Very funny guy, very funny comedian, Mr. Robert Pitty joining the show.
Hi.
Guys, today, Robert Pitty.
How's it going?
Good get here for us. Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, no problem. It's fun so far.
Yeah, you know.
As you say, we covered, I was going to say, we started the show 20 minutes in, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to let it go a little bit, you know, let it air out, and, you know, plus there's always editing. I can mix and match things, you know.
Yeah, it'll work out.
I'm a fucking wizard, but thank you for joining us, though, man. Appreciate it. We were having a pretty good talk, actually, before you got here. We were just talking about, you know, doing comedy and kind of getting to that point where you understand why you're doing it, you know,
first bit.
Yeah. And, you know, he's talking about a lot of people don't realize, and it's tough for me because, you know, this is such a long and arduous process to even have it really turn into anything material at some point, you know, and for somebody to make that dedication, you know, there's going to be times where it doesn't seem like it's fitting, like it's working. But at what point do you say, you know, I got to stick this out for 4, 5, 6 years? Or what do you say? It's not working. I mean, just not
100%. And I remember listening to somebody say, they just started out and they said that, you know what? I've been on stage and they were bombing at this point. And I heard them say, you know what? I had one good set and I've done this 30 times. And I was like, there's no way I could go through a streak of 30 times eating shit. I don't know what drives that, but I also, I'm fearful that it's also in me.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, oh crap. Like, am I also in the delusion? And then I think maybe we'll see. I mean, time will tell if I'm talented and truly have potential. But
I think you have to be a little delusional to be a comedian.
I absolutely
a certain extent, you know.
Oh yeah, who's going to go out to a show every single night, not get paid anything, and literally throw their thoughts of what people will find hilarious at the wall and see what sticks?
Yeah,
that's such a weird career path.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I know you're right, man. And that you know, yeah, that feeling of just fucking completely eating shit. It's like,
oh yeah,
30. Yeah, could you do that 30 times in a row? I mean, I don't have a ton of sets where I feel like I crushed it. You know, I have some good sets, but I don't not very frequently. I'm like, oh yeah, that was awesome. But it's like just to completely get nothing and time after, and I do see it from some people, and it's like you admire their dedication, but it's like at some point you're hitting your head against the wall here.
also, like, just look at a tape of yourself, and you know, you've seen people be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You've watched what's worked, what hasn't, especially starting stand-up comedy. I'm sure we were all fans of stand-up comedy to begin with.
For a long time before.
Yeah, so we all watched extremely funny people being at the best of their game for so long, and if you look nothing like that whatsoever on tape, and you're getting nothing, the fact that you keep going back and doing the same thing just boggles my mind.
Yeah.
Like, that's it's literally insanity.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were talking about the Cleveland Browns.
Well, yeah. The front office needs to be fired. Yeah, 100%.
I'm glad that's not what we're talking about. No, I don't know. Sometimes I think a lot of people just, if you keep grinding it out, look, we were just discussing politics. There are a lot of people where it's like, how long do you stay doing something before you actually see a payoff? And there's a lot of people in politics before they even get a chance to become, like, how many times are we going to have someone run as, why are you keep running? You're never going to win this office. Well, you know, one of these days, I don't know. Perseverance. I feel like it's a good thing to have something to strive for. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just a reason to get out. It's a good hobby.
Oh, 100%. Like. Oh yeah.
We could all just be drug addicts.
Yeah, probably.
Exactly. Stoners or alcoholics just sitting in our apartments and grumbling to ourselves.
Talking in a microphone.
Yeah.
I think that actually me moving back in with my parents stemmed most of my comedy boom.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was living on my, not on my own, but with three roommates who were very entertaining, very funny, fun to be around, I was like, you know, I just feel like playing video games this entire day with you guys because this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I live with my parents, I'm like, I want out of the house
right
now. And literally the comedy community is so nice now. It wasn't great when I first started.
Yeah.
But once you're in about 2-3 years, they really come around and are very supportive people, and you kind of like invest yourself in it and have this clique of friends that are really, really fun to be around. But you have, it's also part of the grind of comedy is just like, we're at the part of the year where there's New Year's resolution comics, and I maybe resent them more than anybody because they always break my heart because I think they're going to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even want to name them because I'm just going to get attached.
Yeah, right.
And it stings. It stings. It's
I won't let myself be hurt again.
Exactly. And watching them succeed for a moment where you're like, oh my God, I gave him a tag. He said it. He got his first big laugh. And you watch him grow up. And then they leave you. And it hurts.
This is almost like a military thing where he's like, no, I never talk to the privates because they gotta make it through a couple of the battles before I don't want to.
Exactly.
Take
it. I don't want to just see another name on the wall. I don't need that.
True story.
Yeah. New Year's resolution comics. That's why about this time of year, I'm just like, I didn't, for the first, maybe after the first year when I realized it was happening, the next 2 years I left it, and this year I've just had no choice. I've had to buckle down, but I haven't seen that many in Seattle, to be honest. Like, I haven't gotten attached.
Maybe they like these random people.
I don't think there's been a ton, to be honest.
Yeah, it's honestly strange.
Yeah.
I think
the comedian market might be getting a little saturated, I think.
In Seattle or just in general?
Kind of in general, but probably a little bit more in Seattle even. But
we do have.
But it is funny though. Like, I've been in a couple of years now, and it's finally has got to the point where there's people that used to come around, and you start to not really see them anymore. You know, I always wonder how long were they even doing it for? Like, were they at this for a year? Were they at it for 3 years? Yeah. Like, I don't even know how long they were in. So. But
You can kind of tell sometimes when you see a comedian that like has been at it. Like, I'm just gonna name someone. Chase Myers came in from where is he from? Louisiana.
Mm.
And as soon as I saw him, I'm like, that guy's been doing it for a while, and he's good.
Yeah.
Like, you can see that he's put in the time, and like, but you can also see when they're brand new.
Yeah.
So in a way, you can kind of engage based on how they are on stage. And be like, okay, you're worth having as a friend because you're also in this thing with me.
Yeah.
And I can tell you're not leaving because you're good enough to where you've obviously invested the amount of time that you can't get out either.
Yeah.
You're stuck now.
Exactly. Yeah. You're trapped with me. So we might as well be friends. It's a very Stockholm syndrome type of situation.
Yeah. Put a smile on your face as we go down this crazy path.
Exactly. Here. You might as well be the nicest one in the hostage situation.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Could be snowed in like Portland.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, they got hit hard. I know, it's so weird. Usually it's like everybody gets all the same weather around here, I feel like, in the Pacific Northwest for the most part.
So climate change is a thing, right?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, where's all this global warming?
That's
yeah.
not fake news. No, warming does not mean warm. It's not what it means.
Man, that would be one hell of a conspiracy theory, wouldn't it?
Which one?
That global warming wasn't real. I think that'd be insane if, like, literally all the scientists got together and were like, all right, we are going to pull one over on everybody just to make sure that cars run better and that the earth, like, air is more breathable. But really, but they didn't. They literally just came up with a bunch of numbers and they're like, if this doesn't happen, we're all going to die.
That concerns me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That concerns me because that conspiracy started around the 70s, right around the time hippies, and we had the gas thing, and that's when everyone was like, oh, and they started like, yeah, if we keep doing this, we're going to heat up the earth, and we're going to all kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Were they a bunch of hippy-dippy scientists who were just like, we got to do something to make them stop?
Some people guess really well.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's concerning that it's like, is it a conspiracy just to get people to chill, or is it some people who were like, I got some money in... you know, wind farms, and I don't want that oil thing to keep...
I wonder what the stock market price for wind farms is, because...
I'm assuming high, right? Didn't they just open a bunch in the ocean over in California or Florida? There's like ocean ones. So it's like ocean.
I just didn't know that was something you could invest in just because, like, the government literally gives them most of the money, I thought. Yeah. But if there's a stock market for it, then obviously there's... I never actually considered that, like solar power or something like that. I forget that somebody has to create these things, and that's a business.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. That just hit me at this one point.
Oh, that's a fine, because, you know, Trump believes in coal anyway, so we're not going to have to worry about it. He's all about helping the Reds. Did anyone else here watch his first speech after Obama's farewell speech? Did any of you two watch it?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Trump's going to quite murder us. But it's going to be cool, because he said he's going to only focus on the states that voted for him. That's what he told us.
He did his victory tour only through states that voted for him.
Yeah, but when he did his initial speech, he said, "I'm only going to help the ones that voted for me." And then he told CNN, "Don't talk to me because you're fake news." And then what bugged me about that? What still bugs me about that is that how much the MAGA people are still like, "Yeah, fake news, CNN." They're really pushing hard to get that destroy Ted Turner's news station in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But it's like, CNN's also went told us that Jarrett Fogle was touching little kids. Was that fake news? Like, come on.
I sure
what's
hope
fake
not.
News? Are we
it felt fake.
Are we pick yeah. are we picking and choosing
oh, that's
what's
dumb.
Fake now?
Like, in a way, aren't we all?
Yes.
Like,
they won,
like,
and now they think they're right.
But they want to do it to an entire news source that's been reputable for an entire period of time.
Right.
Versus, like, I think a lot of people do pick and choose what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe, even if the overwhelming evidence is that it's true.
You should, like, I feel like you should
isn't,
just pick.
Because they know they'd have to adjust.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like you should pick from all the news sources. Just pick one that's not on your side where it might make you a little upset.
Yep.
Get something that you're okay with and get something that's a little bit middle of the road that you can't really tell, but you've not heard any bad things.
Yeah.
But most people are just like, nah, that's my side. That's your side.
Yeah.
And
nobody comes up with great opinions that way. Or at least they just spout the same rhetoric that they've heard from the rest of the people, and nobody's actually saying anything that's constructing for the other side to bring them to their side because they've just got this bubble,
right?
Or the you versus me thing, and that's just frustrating.
I can't wait for the gulags, personally.
Well, I think I should tan up first, just because I know I'm going to be out in the sun, and I'm very pale.
Well, I mean, we're living in a blue state. He's going to probably make everyone here pay for our deeds and our voting, so we're probably going to have to help Montana, Idaho, anyone near us who voted for him, we're probably going to have to help them because he's going to make us.
Good time to move to Boise, is that what you're saying?
Ooh.
I mean, I like their field.
The blue field?
It's a blue field.
I was going to say.
It looks very oceany, I guess. It's
and they seem to keep having success out there, even though I don't know how you recruit for that. For that college.
I don't want to sound like a misogynist, but I'm pretty sure they got some nice looking ladies who go to Boise.
Well, they're good looking women everywhere, probably.
Country,
yeah. Well, I mean,
think.
Tommy Lawrence from Dakota, she's a Cowboys fan. Mm. Losers. And, you know, I mean, she's not an ugly girl. She had her fun times way back in the day. I know her Twitter account, they all went 3 years back when she was in a college freshman or something, went there. She used to like popping her pee and drinking. thought she was a very, you know.
Her pee. I've never heard that term before.
She had to say it because she didn't like the other word, pussy, makes her. Her.
Oh, she enjoyed sex with men. Oh no!
Yeah, apparently that was a thing, and I was like, all right. Well, I mean, she's, you know, there's very good looking women in the South, in the Midwest, in the South. Mm-hmm. They're very
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
They're not yelly.
Mm-hmm. It kind of makes me trust people more.
But does that have anything to do with what they look like? Because I'm like,
oh, they're, you know, blonde hair, very top heavy. probably really good cooks, red apple bottoms, jeans, boots with the fur.
See, most of the things that, my mom's from the Midwest, from Minnesota, and she has blonde hair and I guess technically top heavy. I'm like, you describe my mom most of that way, and I'm like, ah, oh, man, and she can cook. And
I'm saying, like, oh,
damn it.
I'm assuming she's a very good looking.
In a way, you just stereotyped your way and perfectly described my mom, who's from the Midwest.
I have
so
family
I can't,
from the South.
I can't even be angry.
Yeah, I got family from the South. I have family in the Midwest. I've seen everyone in those vicinities. If you want to get
everyone,
little, yeah, I'm saying if you want to get a little ethnic in the areas. Very nice lower halves.
Mm.
Again, still can cook.
Mm-hmm.
They love their Bibles, which is, you know, it's whatever for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are very nice looking. He had very well looking supporters from the female branch.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Very Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Foxy News.
I was just saying.
Foxy News.
They also do that kind of on ESPN, don't they? Like, they're very blonde for the most part.
I like my football wings and women, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
What's with girls these days and not being able to cook? Like, I feel like
Have you tried to cook? Because it's really hard. I was thinking about this because it's so easy to not cook now.
Yes.
The meals and stuff like that, like I throw things in the microwave and every once in a while, maybe I'll throw on some little red pepper just to like really season things
crazy.
Up. And it's so like 5 minutes. What was it? I read something that said that literally the time spent not cooking is like an hour a day for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what we're doing with that time, probably Facebook, but I know that we have no reason to learn to cook because literally, yeah, everything is so much more entertaining and we're getting what we need out of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So why bother?
I had to give myself a conspiracy to make myself cook more and use the ovens. One of them is that I told myself that microwaves would give me cancer because mm-hmm. it's nuclear powered.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's what I told myself. That's how I weaned myself off of it. I'll still reheat stuff here and there, but I am now a stove reheater.
Yeah.
Oh, that takes
so much time.
It's so much time. I'm like,
it does. Yeah.
I think,
and you get a little more attention to detail. The microwave, I feel like, ruins everything though. Besides popcorn, like, I mean, yeah, it makes it warm, but it's never like it's never any better. Like, I'd rather just have a cold piece of pizza than than, you know, microwave, and it's kind of like mushy and kind of squishy.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and it's got to be doing something to you.
Yeah.
How the hell does that fucking thing work? Give me a break. You know, I debated a very smart man about this. He's like, "Oh no, it's fine. It's fine." It's like, you put your face right in front of that microwave enough time, and you're going to start having a lump in your head somewhere.
There's literally lead in between the glass, but they want you to be able to see it because they thought that was a selling point for you to be able to watch your food cook.
I believe that just because otherwise it seemed like too much magic. For sure, because that you kind of just said that you don't trust the dark arts of the microwave.
No, absolutely not.
I think it's really funny.
It's very funny.
It is. And
can't put aluminum foil in there? What the fuck?
But again, microwaves from the same time frame as the 70 hippie dippy scientists who gave us climate change. So are we saying that the baby boomers are they fucking with us? They have all the money too, and they don't realize that they're just down in their giant houses.
If they did, I doubt they did it on purpose. That's the thing. I'll bet if they found out all these things, like, I mean, concussions and stuff like that in the NFL, they covered that up for a long time where they're like, we don't want people to know that this is bad for them. That's a terrible idea. And so literally independent scientists had to discover these things in order to be like, hey, humanity, this is a bad decision.
It's too late now.
And they've been making sure we don't know.
Yeah.
Or they didn't want to know. For sure.
Former athletes are killing themselves.
Well, I feel like, you know, so many of the baby boomers are also our politicians. Like, did they want us to just be like, they'll get some nutrition out of reheating it in that nuclear emission device. But, you know, we're not going to be here for it. Who cares? As long as they keep voting and they're a little bit dumber, Idiocracy is fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean...
It's terrifying that you made me think...
The lowest
this.
Common denominator of both sides is what's ruining both sides, essentially. Because, yeah. Ugh. I mean, because that's a, when we... What should we call it? When we stereotype the other side, that's what we pick on 100% of the time.
Yep.
We talk about, on the Republican side, we talk about the racist, misogynist, dirtbags. And on the other side, we're like the hippie liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And
snowflakes.
The snowflakes. And you're like, both of you only view the other side that way. When in reality, I mean, I'm very liberal, but I probably look very conservative as far as things go. I look like I could fit in on Fox News and stuff like that. I know that. But I always... do my best to talk to the other side in a constructive way, because I think that that's what is eventually going to be the reason why people turn their ideas around, is just talking in a constructive way. Mm-hmm. And that's why it frustrated me so much that this election, like, if your side is genuinely right, why are you yelling? I've never been able to figure that out. It's like, how does that make any, like, because it doesn't make the product, it's not good for you.
It's not a good selling point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you have to yell it at somebody, how, it's like talking to somebody while holding a gun. Like, oh my God, I never looked at it that way. That's so insane.
It's like a commercial where you're like watching a thing and a commercial comes as loud as hell. You're like, why are you, oh, I don't want to buy this now.
Yeah, exactly. And not to mention, I think that as far as commercials go, it literally seems like when somebody is nice to you and trying to pepper you in, it does seem like you're selling something to somebody. Mm. When in reality, like, and I think people are so afraid of that because they're just pelted with ideas of what to buy, what to think all day long, that when it happens to you in person, you now have something to yell at.
Yeah.
You now get to be like, no, I'm not buying your thing. And it's just frustrating because probably on the other side, they literally just wanted to be constructive with you and be like, hey, what you're doing is wrong. And here are the reasons why. And I accept you as a human being.
Yeah.
And we're trying to cultivate this thing we're going to try and create society in this kind way. And even though you're wrong, I still respect you.
Right.
Yeah. And on the other side, they're just like, not buying it, man. No way.
They get very staunch.
Yelling is actually the next best thing to being right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's how you also speak another language.
I was going to say, what's the thing after that? What was this top 10 list?
After that,
speak slower.
It's insulting, personal insults.
Yeah.
Pander.
Yeah.
It's called pander.
Yeah.
You got to be a car salesman. You start off being right. Mm-hmm. They're not listening. You got to up your volume.
Yeah.
Mm.
This is a great car. It's the best you've ever seen. And then eventually you go like, no, you want the cup holders because you're going to be driving around getting your McDonald's.
Yeah. Absolutely, which is funny to me because if they're on a car lot, you probably don't have to yell because they're there because they like the car. They didn't come to your lot to not buy something, probably.
Yeah.
Where you're like, how much, like, all you have to do is know the facts about the car that are appealing and just, they're there for those.
I got the perfect car for you.
All you have to do is be the face of somebody that knew the information they wanted to know.
Yeah. You have to be their Google.
Going. Yeah, exactly. Which hopefully they've Googled.
Yeah.
I hope they got a little bit of brochures and still read the instruction manuals on those goddamn things.
Yeah, it's just, it's those people too, and it's like, yeah, you can't go anywhere with that. But it's also the people too who want to tell you what you can and can't say. Like, it's so hard to have a conversation with those people. I mean, I was telling you about the story from last night. Like, I went to this bar and, you know, we were talking. I don't know how it even came up, to be honest. We were fucking wasted. Seahawks lost, so everybody was kind of...
Everybody's bummed.
Yeah, and, like, still getting drunk, though, but everybody's a little bummed out, and it's kind of, you know, there's some dramas developing. And we start talking about Islam, and I quoted that a majority of Muslims agree with some sort of Sharia law. And this guy came up to the bar and heard me say it, and he just, like, shut me down. He's like...
Mm-hmm. Was he Islamic?
He's like, you can't be talking like that, man. He's like, you cannot be talking like that.
Wait, was he
No. No, it's never. It's always a white guy. It's always a white guy.
Yeah.
He's trying to stick up for the ones who aren't there for the conversation. Also, Atlanta Falcons fans, very nice. So I want to say...
I don't think he was a Falcons fan, but...
Well, I'm saying, like, they were very nice. Because, I was trying to talk shit to Falcons fans, but it did not go over well because you guys couldn't put up and
didn't go well. I kind of saw that one.
But
a little bit. But no, it's just like, why am I being shut down for stating a fact? I mean, you can look that up. You can Google that. I'm not just, my friends, you know, I say this stuff and they're kind of outraged sometimes and they're like, they think I'm just like making it up. Like,
right.
No, no, like, of course it's not made up. I think that maybe it's the extremes of the Sharia law and stuff like that, that they most associate with it. And to say,
yeah.
And so when they say, maybe they're not understanding and comprehending exactly what you're stating when it comes to Sharia law, where you say that some, they believe in some of the Sharia law at some level. And I don't know Sharia law that well, but it is a religious aspect. And I assume, is there anything about Sharia law that's even a little bit,
aggressive?
Oh, it's extremely aggressive. I know that.
Progressive.
Oh, is there anything that's progressive at all?
I doubt it. My thing is like, why even is discussing it a problem?
Because,
that's what a lot of people pushed back on, which is why a lot of people also went with Trump, was they were like, well, why is that an issue? I'm sure guys do the locker room talk. And I called it a barbershop talk. I said, being a person of color, we go to barbershop. They're like, pretty much. I've heard worse.
Yeah.
So I wasn't thrown off by it, but it's like, it was a weird thing where you can't even talk about the other side without being told that's not okay. And you're like, why? Yeah. You should know why. No, tell me why, because clearly it's affecting you, and no one ever has an answer. And it's so
I would just say, I don't think people know how to say why. And that's what it really boils down to, is they don't know how to get their point across in a way that's simplistic and also respectful of the other side.
Yeah.
So they don't. They just tell you, fuck off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get louder.
Instead. So.
I mean, because I'm one of the ones where I always say... online a lot of times there's a couple of memes where it's very I think you might have posted, there was one from this site that had the joke about the dad being in the restaurant or the place and the son's getting hit on, and it was like a blue one. It was one of yours, because I commented on it, and like it was like I'm in the place with my son and this girl's clearly hitting on him. And he doesn't realize it, and I failed as a father.
Oh, I think I liked that.
Yeah,
I
definitely liked it. It showed up in my timeline.
Oh, shit.
So
okay,
in the comments, there was a backlash. People going like, well, why is this guy trying to decide on, like, his son shouldn't, like, he shouldn't be pressured into having sex with that girl? And then I was like, oh, crap. They took the joke out of context, and now they're going to try to teach you about how this joke is supposed to be interpreted.
Yep.
And you're like, all right. And, of course, there were a couple of women like, well, people, it became a rape discussion where people are like, see, he's trying to, and I'm like, oh god, again. And I'll say this, my favorite thing about Trump being elected is that there is kind of a pushback against it, where you're trying to rationalize to these people who can't just keep shouting you down. But a lot of people were like, no lady, we don't know what the joke was about the father. The father probably would know if his son was gay, so you can't keep throwing out that he's gay. And then this guy was like, and if my son's gay, like, that wasn't the first thing popped in my head. She called him a sexist, and it was like, come on, you can't do that. But it was like a weird thing where that discussion happened, where it's like there's this weird pushback of people going like, look, rationally, I'm tired of you telling me what I am, but and I'm also tired of you trying to explain to me a joke.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, I kind of like that's happening, because I was the one that said, like, it's kind of weird that there's a lot of feminists who defend the Islamic culture, but I keep saying, we've also now legalized women in the draft. I was like, well, we should start drafting more of these feminists and sending them to the Middle East so they can give some of that estrogen aggression out and go fix that place. They'd probably do it legally split.
Yeah, but see what rape culture's like in Saudi Arabia.
Shit. But they'd have our weapons and our military might. They'd be fine. Those women would kick their ass. I feel like our training would be great.
Yeah.
They might come back and be able to cook.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not taking that one. I'm not buying that
one. All right, I'll take it.
It's okay.
That's all
right. Yeah, it's just the most important right that we have as Americans, in my opinion, is freedom of speech. I've said it many times on the show. I'll say it again. I mean, even in Canada, they don't technically have free speech.
Like, there's no hate speech allowed, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's certain things that you actually can't say. It's like, and that's the most important freedom we have, is just the freedom of our thoughts.
Right.
You know, and because that's all the talking is you're taking your thoughts and putting them into words.
Absolutely.
And sending them out to the world, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, we can't be censoring that, you know? I mean, tell me if you think I'm being Islamophobic, just tell me. Just don't say, hey, come on, man. Come on. Stop. Don't talk like that. Like, don't talk like what? Like, just tell me what I've said. I'm just stating facts here. That's all that's going on.
If he was high, that wouldn't happen though.
Yeah.
I'm blaming alcohol.
He had a nice beard going, and
just
I don't know.
Sharia law, just no alcohol allowed, quote unquote.
And then the weirdest part was I saw him in the bathroom later, and he like wanted to continue the conversation in the bathroom.
Of course,
because he had time to think about it.
Well, yeah,
because he had time to think about it, and now all of a sudden he's come up with this idea that he wants to say this now,
yeah.
When it's dead. And I think that's very
When I was asking for your opinion earlier,
exactly.
I was like, "What do you just tell me? You know, just tell me."
I will say I. In a way, I actually sympathize with him because there are a lot of times where I don't know if I get into a subject, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd absolutely love to come back to it when I do.
Once you make that good comeback.
Especially, yeah, exactly. It's like stand up where you write what you wish you'd have said down and you're like, oh my God, that would have been so funny if I just said that right there.
Yeah.
Or if I'd have come back with these facts or this knowledge. And I think in a way, like, his gut instinct is what probably shoved you away of, oh God, I don't know. And then when he came back, he's like, I've got all this confidence now.
Yeah.
I've got this. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
And people want that immediate instinct to be correct. And I think that that's incorrect because most of our feelings are wrong.
Emotions are weird.
Emotions are like, how often were you instinctually 100% correct about a very complex subject when it comes to like Islam or anything like that, religion, politics? How often are we just instinctually correct and not just talking out of our ass?
And at a bar.
Exactly. I was going to say, two or three in,
right.
You're like, man, that's amazing how that guy found out how to make world peace work while he was just high out of his mind.
Yeah.
And people do kind of feel that way sometimes.
Yeah,
that's the hippie sort of way. But yeah, so having an instinct and having it be wrong and just saying not right now, I don't think that's a wrong thing to do.
Yeah,
I think that the way you go about it is definitely the wrong thing to do, especially when he was aggressively saying no, not right now, or angry at you for even bringing up the subject.
Yeah,
that's not fair. Even a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, I told him like multiple times, I'm like, dude, can we continue this out there?
Yeah.
My bird's out right now, man. This is not the time for this conversation. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, we can talk, but now, you know, come on.
Just pee on his shoes.
It's like, this is not a fair fight here.
Yeah.
But
he got you when you're the most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, there's so many things where it's like we're in this weird space and we have how many days before Armageddon?
It's the 20th.
4 days.
4 days.
Well,
4 days.
I was trying to be optimistic.
Plenty of time for a false flag event still.
False flag?
Yeah. There's plenty of time for one still.
It's not going to happen.
I don't know anything about false flag. This is one of those situations where I'll come back later.
I'm just saying, I feel like some people have some plans here, you know? Obama is just... God, he has just been trying to derail this thing as much as possible.
Are you talking about 40,000 troops in Poland? What are you talking about?
All this kind of stuff. All this little stuff. Yeah, the whole thing with Israel.
Let's be fair. That
Russian
hacking
thing.
That wasn't Obama.
I feel like everything they're trying to
Obama.
Just fucking kick some dirt on this.
That wasn't Obama.
On this country before,
that was Syria saying Israel bombed Damascus.
Yeah.
That was Syria saying that Israel just bombed Damascus. Which I think was interesting because I'm like, they bombed your capital and you're just trying to like, hey guys, we're getting bombed again from Israel. And I'm like, so you should fight them. I don't know why you're telling us. What do you want me to do about it? Like, again, last time we tried to help someone in your area, we picked the wrong side and the Russians had to help you take back Aleppo. I don't want to help you in Damascus. No offense, but I'm like, the Middle East is fucking weird. Can we just please just pull out and just help Mexico?
Yeah. I know,
man. This is one of those subjects where I'm like, shit, I know nothing about history or anything. Like, all of the words you just said were right over my head.
Geography.
This is the moment where everyone knows I'm dumb.
You Gary Johnson'd him on a level.
Oh, my bad.
It's okay. It's
just Middle East.
I was going to say, I'm 27. I got time to learn. Things will work out. But for
I don't think anybody understands the whole thing. To be
honest. Of course not.
There's lots of countries.
Otherwise, we'd have found a solution, I'd hope. At this
point,
religion's
weird. And this goes back pretty far. Like, you know, obviously, a lot of the Middle East, the modern day Middle East, was shaped after World War I.
Mm-hmm.
And by some imperial powers
and
some
Soviet
European
Russia.
Powers, you know, some people who weren't there on the ground, but
don't forget Eastern Europe.
But it definitely, yeah, but even when you bring Islam into and that whole thing, you know, that changed everything too. So, but
well, they're already there. They just didn't have their own space. You know, we was like, you guys need your own safe space, quote unquote.
Yeah.
We gave them a spot and some people were like, that's my spot. And now there's this weird area in Israel, whether it's like it's a void. Because it's not technically Israel, but it is Israel, and they're getting in fights about it, and you're like, yeah. Well, why don't you both live there? And they're like, I'm okay with living there. And there are people like, yeah, but they shouldn't be here. It's like, why? It's like, well, their book is different than mine. And you're like, do you guys hear how that's stupid? Like, us being Americans, we're like, look, your book is, why can't they just use their book and you use their book? Their book is wrong. And again, yep. It turns into
and they're very similar books, from what I know. Extremely similar books.
And you're like, why are you guys fighting? Well, and then, again, I just like the Kurds. They're my favorite Muslims. They're very peaceful people, but they keep getting fucked with, and we don't help them. And I feel bad, but then I'm like, I don't know who to help. How do we help?
Yeah.
God damn.
I was watching this history documentary last weekend, and they were talking about the Middle East after World War I. And I didn't know back in the day, once all the Jews started immigrating there,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that they were the ones that were like putting on a jihad, like,
oh,
they were the ones, yeah, they were terrorizing
they
the population.
They conquered like, so much, and then we were like, no, guys, go back.
Yeah,
yeah.
We told them to pull back, and
yeah,
like,
they just
was,
they
like,
came
fine.
In with ferocity. I don't even know how they established themselves so quickly, like
what
as a country, and just like
Jewish
in like 10-15 years, they had a whole military and everything.
They're
like,
Jewish,
just
they're,
from a bunch of immigrants.
They should be building cars and other things because they would be super proficient. But instead, they've learned how to make Uzis and Krav Maga. And they're really good at being very technical. I mean, a lot of them were probably formerly German, but like, you know, very
well. That's where they came from. If
yeah,
I remember,
that's where,
well,
that's where a lot of the first ones came
from. Yeah, a lot
from.
Of them. Yeah. So I mean, like, they're proficient people who also like shiny things. I don't. That's all right. That was wrong. But I mean, like, it made sense to me that they were able to kick that much ass. But I think it's funny that that was the one time we were like, guys, pull back, go back. They're gonna get mad, and they're still mad about losing. And they're like, we can kick your ass. And Israel's like, well, you've already tried twice, and both times we beat the shit out of you. Leave us alone. And then yeah. They're like, well. And I'm like, it's literally like having two kids and like one's older and you're like, here goes your toy and we'll give you stuff too. But like, you're going to get a couple of hand-me-downs and the other kid's just beating the shit out of the other kid when you leave the room.
Yeah.
And I was like, we can't just help Mexico.
Yeah. I know it's so hard picking winners and losers.
It's also hard to like come into a place where that kind of stuff has been happen and you have to then all of a sudden you're the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Really? What then, where the fuck were you this whole time? If you had this solution and it didn't benefit you in any way to give it to us, then why is it here now?
Why are you here now?
So
look, the Crusades were weird, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was
so, I mean,
the religious war, yeah.
I mean, that's what it still is. Like, you know,
oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
Boko Haram is now what a lot of the news companies are trying to focus on. And I'm like, that's been happening since Boris Yeltsin and Bill Clinton. Like, there have been a bunch of people in Somalia who were Muslims who were killing Christians. That's been happening for a while. It means, like, bad book or something like that. That's what the Boko Haram means. Like, that's been happening for years. They're now bringing it up again because I'm like, well, because we're kind of over the Middle East. We need something else to be like, come on, everyone. Don't you want to have something to, don't you want a thing to talk about? And I'm like, I don't know. Look, we're never going to solve anything.
Not here. Not on this podcast.
Not on this podcast. I mean, like, what?
We just throw out worries.
It just it stresses me out.
They're a religion of peace, though. You didn't know that?
They are. Yeah.
You talking about Buddha?
No, dude. And they're the fighting in with India and Pakistan, too. That's,
yeah, oh,
that's
they
the
both
same
have
thing,
nukes.
You know? That was the Eastern Crusades of Islam,
yeah.
Basically.
They
you
both
know?
Have nukes.
Mm-hmm.
And
so my thing is, who's Trump going to side with on Twitter? He's already picked his side on North Korea. He's already picked a side with he's against China, and China put their. Did you hear about that?
No.
China sent their ships to the strait between them and Taiwan to like show that they have power in the water areas. And I'm like, we're gonna fucking
let's not do this, guys.
Yeah, I'm like everyone's so on edge.
Especially like, I don't trust Trump to be the voice of reason when it comes to exactly. Anybody who like, how do we have a petty president right now? That's amazing to me. Where I'm like, ah, Jesus, you can't let just a little bit go. where you like, especially since like you're the president of the United States, a little knickknack being out of place shouldn't bother you because someone will fix it.
Yeah.
Someone will take care of that. The whole entire time, like literally just, I can't believe he just doesn't let anything go.
No.
Like, that's what's amazing to me. And that's what's going to screw us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's going to, a napkin being off with a bunch of people, he's like, this is off, this is disrespectful. Yeah. And I'm like, what the, come on, Trump. There was a waiter that was just having a bad day. Come on, dude.
He's very authoritarian. That's why I said his little thing when he told the CNN reporter, I'm not talking to you because you are fake news. And he was like, no, not you. No, you're not getting. Yep. And I was like, that doesn't stare at you. And I like that Fox News, there was a couple of the reporters like, that was not cool to do that because we have freedom of the press. And then, like I said, before we started this podcast, he literally was like at Fox News, like, you guys don't, he said, SNL is disrespectful, NBC is terrible.
I wonder why.
He's going to be like, I want the, the P thing. He's like, I want them all off. Like, that's basically what he was saying, but he didn't say, like, every time he tweets something, something bad happens. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this guy is going to get us in a shitstorm.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you got to know as the president that there's going to be a lot of dissenting voices out there. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of people who aren't happy with you, disagree with you. You know, that's how it goes. I mean, we could elect Justin Bieber president, and there's still going to be
Canadian.
A certain amount of people.
How dare you?
Oh, yeah, that's
true. That's the problem with us.
Yes,
he's Canadian.
Cruz,
although I've been hearing Obama's birth certificate might be.
Someone posted me the stupid video. I'm still stupid. I don't care. It's still
it doesn't matter now.
Yeah, like, I was like, it doesn't matter now. Yeah. But I was like, yeah, all right. I'm pretty sure he was still born in Nigeria. Who cares? I don't give a shit. Like, we didn't go to war, and he's at least had more class than any other one from
He's good.
North Florida. I don't care. Yeah. I don't. It's such a weird thing. He's going to get us killed.
Yep.
Like, I don't even know if he's going to get us nuked. I feel like someone's going to invade us just to show a point.
I don't know.
There are Canadians who have MACA going.
The Canadian...
Make...
That's a peaceful country. There's no way it'll come from them.
Yeah. They have a top 10...
That being said, God, that'd be a surprise.
They have a top 10 special forces unit. Also, don't forget, 1812, they burnt the White House down.
Yeah.
That was them. Don't forget that. That was 1812. That was Canada.
Yeah, but other than... If they came in from... I'm now picking out like the weakest states to invade for Canada, but I'm like, if they come in from Washington, they may have a shot of getting a little ways, go through Oregon, go through the blue states first, because by the time they get into Idaho, Montana, those places, not to mention like they're so spread out and stuff like that, like we can just jump them and they've got the guns, there's no problem.
Yeah,
we'll figure that out. But
the only people we need to worry about invading us is the goddamn UN, all right? Mm. Those are the people that we need to worry about invading us.
Trump's first international meeting of meet with an international leader is who?
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Putin.
Oh, really?
He already announced that's the first person he's going to meet, and everyone's like, of course it is! So maybe we're not going to fight Russia, but they're also getting... They got mad at us for sending troops to Poland.
Yeah.
Shit.
And then they're fighting with... They're fighting with the NATO thing with Syria. And I'm like, I don't know who we're going to fight.
I hope no one.
China.
Yeah, I hope no one.
Yeah.
I like Chinese food.
Well, then that's why you should really hope not, because then we're not going to get any.
Yeah.
Or they could win and we could totally get as much as we want.
There'll be a takeout embargo.
It won't be as good.
We'll just call
it
food.
Won't be as good.
We made Chinese food better in China.
Well, yeah, a couple more days. We will see what happens, you guys. It's going to be exciting.
It won't be day. I mean, people say 20th is the D-Day and stuff like that, but like he can't get sworn in and immediately say we're launching it. Like he can't
skip the parade. Yeah. Give me the book.
Yeah,
give me the briefcase.
Thank you, Toby Keith.
Yeah, open up the briefcase, got the big red button.
Oh, they talk stuff about me the entire time.
Yep.
North Korea must pay.
Yeah. They don't have ICBMs.
Yeah. So it won't happen the 20th, but it's
that'd be
just
a good time
the inevitability
for assassination
of
attempt,
it.
Though.
Oh,
I feel
who
like,
are
whoa,
you?
Shit.
I think with that parade they got going on, you know.
Who are you?
I'm just saying.
What's
I'm
your middle
saying.
Name? They need to know all three of your names to announce. Who are you?
There's a lot of upset people out there right now, Marcus. Right?
Yeah, and there's going to be protests in Washington, D.C. It only takes one nut job, but
There's supposed to be bikers there who are going to make a meat wall to protect the president.
Oh, jeez. Actually, there's a Women's March here, too, that we're supposed to be attending, so there'll be gatherings everywhere and whatnot.
Why are they here?
Because we're gonna, what are we gonna
because it's safe here.
Do they, yeah. do they get confused with Washington and Washington D.C.? Is that why the bikers are here?
Maybe that could be. It's like you said, the commiserating. Of course, Marcus, that's how it goes. But we got to wrap this thing up, though. We've hit the wall here on time, unfortunately. Yeah. I'm actually having a good time too.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
this has been quite
the
romp here, Mr. Pity. But thank you guys for listening to another episode of An Earful in the Emerald City. 63, you guys. We're still doing it. Still making it happen. Thank you guys for fucking listening. We appreciate the shit out of you. It's as always, if you appreciated this, I did. I know I did. And if you guys did too, let somebody know. You know, let somebody know. Throw a suggestion out there.
Send them a tweet.
Send us a tweet at Earful in eCity on Twitter. And you guys can send us an email too if you got anything you want to talk about, anything to discuss, anything that's going on in your life, whatever. Okay. We just want to hear from you guys. We just want to know how
before
you're doing.
Before the end comes.
You know? Yeah, exactly. We want you to check in. Let us know what you think. How is it all going to go up in flames? All that kind of good stuff. But Robert, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it, man.
Me.
Yeah, he's heading out to a show here. Speaking of shows, I wanted to let everybody know real quick before we end here. We're going to be producing our first comedy show. Earful in the Emerald City will be producing their first comedy show February 9th. Laughs. In the U District, you guys. Okay, so if you got anything going on, kind of a little Valentine's Day build up, you know, a little prequel, guys. You can take your girl out, you know. There'll be some prizes. There'll be some things going on. So
mistresses
be a good time. But February 9th, mark your calendars, you guys. 8 o'clock, laughs in the U District.
Is there a theme to the show?
I'm thinking Valentine's-ish,
okay,
you know,
cool.
But yeah, it'll be the week before, but so we'll be doing that, so if you're free, guys, definitely try to make it out, but thank you again for listening, Earful in the Emerald City, for myself, Aaron Berg, Slim, and my side cohort, Marcus Netters, and Mr. Robert Pitty, thank you guys for joining us, and we will talk to you motherfuckers next week.
Salute.